This is the live feed. It's your connection to live music and entertainment in Winona. Support for this program is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Now, here's Terry Tenseth with the live feed.
Welcome to the live feed and to our monthly presentation of Over the Back Fence, a community variety show at the St. Mean Theater in Lanesboro, Minnesota. Tonight, you'll hear previews of upcoming summertime community theater productions of Lanesboro's Mary Poppins and Spring Grove's Little Shop of Horrors. Enjoy songs with a red-hot theme such as Roses Are Red, That Old Lucky Sun, Red Hot and Blue, and more. We'll hear from comedian Al Batt, music from the Scandinavian folk trio The Footnotes, and the Rhubarb Sisters take stage. It's time for entertainment. Skits, music, comedy, and fun are all part of the live feed tonight during our presentation of Over the Back Fence.
The following program is a production of Lanesboro Radio Company's Over the Back Fence. It was recorded before a live studio audience on July 10th at the St. Main Theater in Lanesboro. The theme of the show is Red Hot and features musical guests, Footnotes.
Good evening and welcome to Over the Back Fence, celebrating our 21st year. Our theme tonight is Red Hot, with special musical guests, The Footnotes. We've got a big show lined up for you. One of our favorite guests every year has come back to join us again. Mr. Al Batt is in the building tonight. We'll be hearing from him just a little bit later on. We'll also be hearing from our sponsors, including Emily of Great River Shakespeare Festival. And we'll be hearing about the Thomas M. Mannion Attorney at Law Firm. I'm your host, Damon Prestonman, and please welcome tonight's special guest, musical director, Ms. Rachel Storley. Big finish. Nicely done.
I was missing at the beginning, and I felt a little bit left out, but they fixed it all up.
I felt totally alone there.
You were naked with
them. I don't normally speak without there being an accompaniment.
I know. I'm sorry. Well, I threw you for a loop.
Well, welcome back to Over the Back Fence. It seems like a month ago since we last saw you.
I think it's because it actually was a month ago since we last saw each other.
Well, we have been treated to having you here for a couple, 3 months in a row, and that is fantastic. I know that you've got a lot of exciting things on your plate. We'll hear about some of those coming up a little bit later on in the show. But as was mentioned to us by Harvey Number One, tonight's theme is Red Hot. For those of you that are listening at home and not here at the studio audience with us at the St. Main Theater, everyone in attendance is dressed head to toe in red.
Especially you and me, right, Dave?
That's correct.
Yes.
I've got to start reading those emails.
The memos. They keep coming.
But what I see gathering over the back fence right now are the back fence women.
Your little girl, she looks a lot like you.
Roses Are Red. A great way to kick off our red hot July show. You know, I love it when we have young people on the show, and it's always such a treat.
Me too.
And a couple months back, George brought his grandkids with him, and I see that he found room for them in the vehicle again this month.
which
is a relief.
Yeah, well,
because last month they had to ride on the top.
Well,
hi,
on
George.
On the hood, actually.
Ah, very good.
But we see these two are the talented ones. I just come along to fill in. All right? We have some poems for you tonight. In addition to the poem, which was set to music and sung by Bobby Benton, there are many versions of the Roses Are Red, Violets Are Blue poem. Roses are red, violets are blue. Chili is hot, and so are you.
Yeah, I know that one, but I like this one better. Roses are red, violets are blue. I was born beautiful. What happened to you?
Not bad, Beth, but how about this one? Roses are red, violets are blue. When brains were given out, where were you?
Many Red Roses poems are romantic, such as this one. Roses are red, violets are blue. Nobody loves anyone as much as I love you.
Just dumb, like this one. Roses are red, violets are blue. Some poems rhyme, this one doesn't.
Some are instructional. Roses are red, violets are blue. Sunflowers are yellow. I bet you were thinking this was gonna be romantic, but no, it's just gardening facts.
Okay, ready, guys? Roses are red, violets are blue. Our act is now over, so go ahead and boo.
That's George and his grandkids. George and his grandkids. Wow. Must be fun sitting around the table at their place, huh? Really must be. There's a lot of exciting things coming up this summer here at the St. Main Theater, and one of them is coming up right around the corner. It's the Lanesboro Community Theater's presentation of Mary Poppins.
And I'm Bert. Ooh, give me some mic here. Yeah. I'm Bert, and these are me pals, Jane and Michael. And it just so happens that they're looking for a new nanny.
If you want this choice position, have a cheery disposition, rosy cheeks, no warts.
That's the part I put in.
Play games, all sorts. You must be kind, you must be witty, very sweet and fairly pretty. Take us on outings, give us treats. Sing songs, bring sweets. Never be cross or cruel. Never feed us castor oil or gruel. Ugh! Love us as a son and daughter. And never smell of barley water. I put that bin in too.
If you won't scold and dominate us, we will never give you cause to hate us. We won't hide your spectacles so you can't see. Put toads in your bed or pepper in your tea. Hurry, nanny. Many thanks. Sincerely, Jane
and Michael.
Thanks.
Mary Poppins coming up the end of the month.
They make us proud. That's just a little taste of what you'll see here in 1 week, right here at the St. Main Theater. So if you want to get your tickets, you got one of these little things here in your program. And we'll see you there. Cheerio.
Mary Poppins coming up by the presentation of the Lanesboro Community Theater right here at the St. Main Theater. Great big thank you goes out to some of our sponsors, including Batstone CPA, Bluff Country Computer Works, Cedar Valley Resort, Sally's Hair to Die For, Lanesboro Public Library, Gilby's Pizza and Sandwich Shop, and F&M Community Bank. Without those sponsors, we wouldn't be able to put on this show. And we appreciate all, each and every one of them. You know, it's not just Mary Poppins coming up at the St. Main Theater here yet this summer. Little Shop of Horrors will be performed at the Ye Olde Opera House just outside of Spring Grove, Minnesota. And I think we have a sample.
We do. We do. We have a great sample. And I've brought with me tonight Lydia Peterson, who will premiere as Audrey, and Benny Getting, who is Seymour in our production in Spring Grove at Ye Olde Gray Barn. We open on Thursday, and please see inside of your program for more details. This is their song called Suddenly Seymour.
Lift up your head, wash off your mascara. Here, take my Kleenex, wipe that lipstick away, and show me your face, clean as the morning. I know things were bad, but now they're okay. Suddenly Seymour is standing beside you. You don't need no makeup, don't have to pretend. And suddenly Seymour is here to provide you with sweet understanding. Seymour's your
Nobody
friend.
Nobody ever treated me kindly. Daddy left early, Mama was poor. I'd meet a man and I'd follow him blindly. He'd snap his fingers, me I'd say sure. Suddenly Seymour is standing beside me. He don't give no
forever, and tell me the bad times are clean washed away.
Please understand that it's still strange and frightening for losers like I've been. It's so hard to say.
Starting this Thursday at the Ye Olde Brown Barn, Little Shop of Horrors, right outside of Spring Grove, Minnesota. Check out your program, and you can find more information on it. Folks, I got to tell you right now, you've gotten more than your money's worth already. Those goosebumps take a lot of work for us to produce on your arms. Holy cow, all for cheaper than a movie. Unbelievable. Hi, Bonnie. I see Bonnie over the back fence. Bonnie, what kind of information do you have for us tonight?
I thought I'd tell you a little bit about redheads.
Oh, is that because of my hair? It is.
Of course. See if you recognize some of these famous people that were red-haired. Lucille Ball, Rita Hayworth, although hers was dyed. Carol Burnett, Andrew Jackson, Beverly Sills, Bonnie Raitt, Calvin Coolidge, Carrot Top the comedian, Christopher Columbus, Chuck Norris, Danny Kaye, Dwight Eisenhower, Eric the Red, Emma Stone, Genghis Khan, George Washington, Mark Twain, Malcolm X, Judy Garland, James Cagney, Maureen O'Hara, Red Fox, Red Skelton, Ulysses S. Grant, Vincent Van Gogh, Willie Nelson, Woody Allen. I could go on, but those are some of the more familiar ones. I want to tell you a little bit about red hair. Red hair occurs naturally in only 1 to 2% of the population. It's the rarest natural hair color of humans. More frequently, people in Northern or Western Europe ancestry have red hair. In that area, it's 2 to 6% of the population. The term redhead has been in use since at least 1510. It's associated with fair skin, lighter eye color, either gray, blue, green, or hazel, sometimes freckles, but not always, and sensitivity to ultraviolet light. Cultural reactions have varied from ridicule to admiration. You might hear the term the red-haired stepchild. Nah, not a good term for them. Many stereotypes exist regarding redheads, and they're often characterized as fiery-tempered. And I happen to have a little fiery-tempered preschooler right now. He really fits the pattern. Redheads are common among Celtic and Germanic people. In Scotland, 10% of the population is red-haired. And in Ireland, also 10% has red hair or strawberry blonde. Red-haired people usually don't tan as well, and this was an advantage when people lived up north where there wasn't as much sunlight, because then the sun that they did get, they would get the vitamin D associated with it, so that helped. But on the other side, red-haired people are more prone to skin cancer, so there are good things and bad things about it. People with red hair have more of the pigment called phenomelanin, rather than the dark pigment, eumelanin. Queen Elizabeth I of England was a redhead, and during the Elizabethan era in England, red hair was very fashionable. In modern times, red hair is subject to fashion trends. Sometimes red hair darkens as people get older, becoming more brownish or losing some of its vividness, and so this leads some to associate red hair with youthfulness, generally considered desirable. In several countries such as India, Iran, Bangladesh, and Pakistan, henna and saffron are used to give it a bright red appearance on hair. Many painters have exhibited a fascination with red hair. Titian often painted women with red hair. Botticelli's famous The Birth of Venus depicted her as a redhead. The Norse god Thor is usually described as having red hair. And early representations of Mary Magdalene usually depict her as having long, flowing red hair, although it's never mentioned in the Bible. So some people think that possibly the color is the effect of the pigment kind of deteriorating over the years. The works of William Shakespeare reinforce the negative stereotype of redheads. And red hair was thought to be a mark of beastly sexual desire in medieval times. Red hair and green eyes were thought to be the sign of a witch, a werewolf, or a vampire during the Middle Ages. In the novel and the film, the redheaded woman, she was a sexually aggressive homewrecker who throws violent temper tantrums. In the 1943 film, Dewberry Was a Lady, it featured two redheads, Lucille Ball and Red Skelton, in Technicolor. And just a side note with Red Skelton, when I was little, we didn't get the channel that had Red Skelton, and so for the longest time, I thought it was some scary show about some kind of Red Skelton. Later, I found out he was a wonderful comedian, and I loved his show. I loved how he ended it with, "Good night and God bless." A couple quotes. Lucille Ball actually said, "Once in his life, every man is entitled to fall in love with a gorgeous redhead." Mark Twain said, "While the rest of the species is descended from apes, redheads are descended from cats. And this is an unknown quote, but it goes like this. There are two types of people in the world, those with red hair and those who are jealous of people with red hair. Thank you.
Bonnie Hulsing with a look at redheads. I have to say that I'm a little cynical about some of the names on the redhead list.
Tell me more. Why?
Well, first of all, half of those names, the pictures were black and white. How could you tell?
True.
And
well,
there
you go.
I'm certain that Malcolm X was not a redhead.
Wait.
Or at least he never told anybody in the movement that he was a redhead.
Well, I don't know. I'm willing to believe anything she said was correct.
All right.
Okay.
Me too, then.
Okay. It's settled.
Genghis Khan, though, really?
I wasn't redhead. There. Who am I to say? I don't know.
George Washington had that beautiful blonde hair.
Beautiful blonde hair, right, of course. And all the judges in Parliament.
This is true. This is true. This is what I'm trying to say. I'm just a little skeptical.
Well, your beautiful flowing locks are looking
Mine
very
are
good
gorgeous.
Tonight.
I just got a perm.
Yeah. I don't think that's going to take very well.
You don't think so?
No.
You want to touch it, don't you?
I do. Come on over. Oh, my gosh. It's so luxurious.
I know. See, this is what a good perm can do. We had Sally's Hair to Die For on last month.
Yeah.
She did this for me.
Yeah, she was amazing.
It's red.
I think that might just be a shadow on something up there.
It could very well be. Enough about my hair, Rachel.
Yes.
There's so little of it, we don't have much to talk about. Now, you're super talented. I think everybody here would agree that you are incredibly talented.
Thank you.
So, you play the piano. I think you have something to do with the Little Shop of Horrors production going on in Spring Grove.
Yes, I'm in the trio, which is, you know, I've got to say, we're supposed to be three fabulously soulful black women.
Right on.
And
with red hair.
With red hair. Because that's what the genes dictate is supposed to be normal.
Sure.
But
I'm pretty sure you can do it. I think you can play, you can pass as a very soulful black woman.
Well, maybe if you close your eyes, there's a tiny strain of that. We've been working really hard to do that, to bring that out.
I have a little bit of experience with soulful black women, and you could pass as a soulful black woman.
That is okay. All right. I don't know if I believe
you. What are
you
people
but...
laughing at? As if you're surprised? Now, I understand also from previous times that you've appeared on Over the Back Fence that you can sing, too.
I can sing. I love singing, and I love the fact that I was raised as a pianist and a singer because I think it's a trait and a combo that is so fulfilling in life, and a lot of people, you know, they just pick one or the other, and then they can't do everything. So
this is true.
You do that, too, and I'm very proud of you for doing that as well.
Well, thank you. I didn't say that I was proud of you. I said you were good at it.
But you're good at it, too. That's what I
implied. Oh, sure. Thanks for that. Now that I've led you to the water, you drink it.
You're making
me out to
be somebody.
When you say you're proud of someone, it's really not that great of a compliment. It's like, I'm proud of you, David. You can bang on the keys and somewhat carry a melody at the same time.
That's not at all what I meant. I hope you didn't take it like that.
Sure, I did take it like that.
I'm sorry.
Say, Barb, I'm wondering if we can just not have Rachel on anymore. Oh, Barb needs to tell... This is something out of the ordinary.
Oh,
I don't handle change well.
Ah!
Barb, what would you like to say? Don't touch my microphone.
Okay. I know that rule, by the way. Rachel was supposed to do Red Hot and Blue, and she didn't have her music. But we ran over, found a book. She said, oh, here's a song. It's in French. I'll do this one. And she sat down and played it beautifully at the rehearsal just a little bit ago. And that's the song she's going to sing.
So are you making that up?
She is.
Are you making that story up? Is that true, Rachel?
It is true. I made a huge snafu, and I ended up having a PDF of Cole Porter's life and history of musicals instead of the PDF of my music.
Right, but we want to hear about the fact that you walked over. First of all, we have French sheet music in town? I mean, Norwegian, that's one thing, but
yeah,
France?
Right. No kidding, no kidding.
We don't even have French fries in town.
Well,
we've got French... Where did you... French sheet music?
Oh, okay. It's in a compilation, like one of those Time Life.
Oh, sure. So it's with the German sheet music and the Swedish sheet music?
No, it's all mixed in together. But since it's an Edith Piaf fancy song, you know, it happens to be in there because it's a hit of yesterday.
Did you just
swear
at me?
Did
she call me an Edith Piaf?
I don't know. It might have something to do with your red hair.
I think you better just shut up and sing.
Okay, I'll shut up and sing. So I'm going to start it in English, and then you need to know just two things. La vie en rose is French, and it stands for this, life through rose-colored glasses. And although Edith Piaf did not have a very rosy-colored glasses sort of life and lived through a lot of sadness, she made many people happy with this song. I thought that love was just a word they sang about in songs I heard. It took your kisses to reveal that I was wrong and love is real. Quand il me prend dans ses bras, il me parle tout bas, je vois la vie. Quelque chose. Il est entré dans mon cœur, une part de bonheur, mais je connais la cause. C'est lui pour moi, moi pour lui dans la vie. Et il me l'a dit.
Rachel Storley.
Thank you.
Can you believe that? Holy mackerel. Well, it's time I recognize that music. It's time for us to get a chance to visit with one of our fine sponsors. And right now, we're going to meet and visit with Emily from the Great River Shakespeare Festival. Hi, Emily.
Hello. I'm so excited to be here tonight.
Say hi to Emily, everybody. Now, tell me, Great River Shakespeare Festival. Let's see. That's going to involve a river and Shakespeare.
Yes, we are right in Winona, Minnesota, not far from here at all. And we are a professional Shakespeare theater company. And we are in our 12th season this summer.
Oh, has it really been 12 years already? Now, what kind of exciting things do you have going on down there? I mean, obviously, Shakespeare is the focal point. But what kind of things are you doing down there?
We obviously have our three professional shows as the focal point of our season, but we have free concerts on the green every single Friday and Saturday night with a ton of local and regional bands and food trucks and yard games and you name it, it's there. We have education events for all ages. We have free shows for kids up to age 18. If you have any kids in your life that love theater and want a chance to experience it, it's a great chance to bring them to the theater. We have workshops. You can learn how to fight with swords, if that's up your alley. We really, truly do try to have programming for absolutely everybody, even if Shakespeare's not your thing.
Well, Shakespeare isn't my thing, but I have been down to the Great River Shakespeare Festival, and it is truly, you don't have to be a huge Shakespeare fan to really enjoy all the different activities. Isn't that true?
Definitely. And one thing that we are really excited about this summer is we're doing three shows, Much Ado About Nothing, Romeo and Juliet, and The Glass Menagerie. And Romeo and Juliet is actually featuring an original score written and performed by Winona's Mike Munson. Some of you might be familiar with Mike's music. And it is giving Romeo and Juliet a really awesome kind of rockabilly twist. And it brings a whole new party to Romeo and Juliet. It's not a show you expect to be a party, but it's a party on that stage.
Well, now, because you're affiliated with the Great River Shakespeare Festival, I'm sure you already know this, but I'll share this with the studio audience and those of you at home. The poem Roses Are Red is actually from Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Not too many people know that. But I read that somewhere.
Clearly very well-read on your Shakespeare plays.
I know Shakespeare. I know a lot of things about Shakespeare. I know that he wore tights.
He did. Stockings, yes.
Stockings. See, I generally wear stockings except here because it's kind of hot. Yes. Now, tell us, when is the Great River Shakespeare Festival going on?
Well, we opened the last weekend in June. We have shows every single day of the week except Mondays. So we have shows Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and we run all the way up until August 2nd.
Wow, fantastic. Long-running festival, and we like that. How can we get more information?
Go to our website, grsf.org, or you can call the box office, 507-474-7900, or just come on up to the Winona State University campus. That's where we make our home in the summer.
Will you repeat again that website, just because you kind of said that fast, and I'm a little bit of a slow learner.
Our website is grsf.org.
Well, for Great River Shakespeare Festival, I see the symmetry there. Okay, now, let's do this. Does anybody want to go see a show in Winona for the Great River Shakespeare Festival? Emily has given me two tickets to give away. I'm going to ask you a very, very simple question. Wait a minute, I got to get back here to Emily for just a second. What were the three shows again?
Romeo and Juliet, Much Ado About Nothing, and The Glass Menagerie.
Ooh, The Glass Menagerie does not sound like a Shakespeare film. Please raise your hand, and I will call on you, and you tell me who wrote The Glass Menagerie, and Emily and I are going to send you to a Shakespeare production. I see Rita with her hand up. Rita?
Tennessee Williams
is correct! Rita, we will get you your tickets to a performance of the Great River Shakespeare Festival on the Great River Shakespeare Festival. Thank you so much, Emily, for giving us some information. Let's have a nice round of applause for Emily from the Great River Shakespeare Festival down the road in Winona. Winona is located right next door to the Great River. You cannot miss it. It is a big thread of water running. You can't miss it.
If you miss it, you don't have your eyes open.
Yeah, it is true. I see people with stringed instruments gathering on stage. It can only be our special musical guest, the one and only Footnote! Thank you. For those of you here at this live at the St. Main Theater, you will see that we are passing the plate around. We're going to have to ask for a little bit more money from you. This show is fantastic, and you're getting a little bit more than what we bargained for tonight. We normally try to meet it right at the admission cost, but tonight we've gone right over. We've crossed the line tonight. I am here with the footnotes. I have to say first, before we get started, that anytime I hear this style of music, we'll call it Americana or bluegrass or whatever we'd like to call it, it gives me a sense of being tied to history in some way. And you know, that really is appropriate. As I was listening to your first song, I thought, man, you know, there's been people listening to this style of music for 100 years. And it's a great way for us to connect in this day of digitalness, to connect with a group of people, four musicians standing here playing stringed instruments, and it sounds so good. You know? Sounds so good. So we appreciate that. Keeping it alive, we appreciate that. Now, for those of you that are regular listeners or attendees here at Over the Back Fence, you know I like to get a chance to meet the special musical guests. And before the show started, I mentioned to these folks that I would be talking to them a little bit, and they all said, not me! So I cannot guarantee how in-depth this interview is going to be. We will try. Hi.
Hi.
It's going good so far. I'm Damon. Who are you?
I'm Beth Rotto.
Beth Rotto, and first of all, what do you play, and who are these other people with you tonight?
I'm playing the fiddle, and next to me is John Gooden playing the mandolin. John Rado on guitar, and Bill Musser on acoustic bass.
Otherwise known as the Footnotes, folks. Now, I just heard you play. You're incredibly talented people, very together. I'm guessing you've had more than one rehearsal.
Well, we have been playing together. John and Bill and I have been playing together for 25 years, and John's been playing with us as a fill-in and a backup, and in a number of different instruments, and he's kind of joining us now on mandolin with harmony.
Oh, well, we like it. We like it a lot. Now, do you have anything special coming up in honor of your 25th anniversary as a group?
I'm glad you asked, because we do.
Don't give away our secrets.
Our band is planning to have the world's largest schottische on July 25th during Nordic Fest.
Oops, wait a minute. Can we say schottische on the radio? We'll have to check with the FCC on that, but I think it should be okay. Now, the world's largest schottische. Now, what does that mean? What's going to happen there?
We are planning to register as many people as we can so we can count the number of people dancing for one four-minute dance on that evening.
Ooh, man, that sounds like fun. Now, where is that going to take place?
That's going to be right in Decorah on the Water Street is our main business street there, kind of down by the Hotel Winnesheek.
Not anywhere near the water either, I might add.
Correct.
I've never really understood that about why you have a water street in Decorah, but it seems like it should be in Winona. The water street should be in Winona, but not Decorah. Now, do I have to actually know how to schottische, or is there going to be enough people there where I could hide?
Our plan is that you will know how to dance if you come a little early, or if you come on Friday night, we'll also have a street dance, and then you can learn how to schottische.
Oh, I like the sound of that. Now, will you tell us again when that was? Because even though I'm doing this interview, I wasn't listening the first time.
This is on July 25th. That's a Saturday night during Nordic Fest in Decorah. Our dance starts that night at 7:30, and our count is exactly at 8:50.
Fantastic. We will make sure to be down there in Decorah for that. Ladies and gentlemen, some more music from the Footnotes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Footnotes. Check them out coming up the end of this month during Nordic Fest in Decorah, right there on Water Street, as they try to conduct the world's largest Schottische. Great big thank you goes out to some of our sponsors, including Coffee Street Fitness Center, Pedal Pushers Cafe, Niagara Cave, Lanesboro Arts, Riverside on the Root Restaurant and Two Rivers Brewery, Merchants Bank, and Thrivent Financial. As I look over the back fence, I see Sandy and Eric. Hi, guys.
Hi there.
What do you got for us?
Well, we've got some ideas about colors. You know how men and women see things differently? Well, they even see colors differently. We've got some colors that are, we've got a list of colors that men and women see differently. Pomegranate.
Brick.
Cocoa.
Tobacco.
Bordeaux.
Barn red.
Cilantro.
Leaf.
Dusted lavender.
Gravel.
Ginger spice.
Whiskey.
Desert brown.
Putty.
Dusted peach.
Driftwood.
Ice.
Ink. You know what? Forget Mars and Venus. I think men are from husk, and women are from sea glass.
Sandy and Eric, with a look at the differences in colors. I'm not a very colorful person.
Are you kidding me?
Well, I mean, I'm a colorful personality, but I don't understand colors at all. I get in, I was going to paint my room in my house the other day, and I was looking for paint samples, and that's confusing. Why do they have to have such crazy names, and there's so many of them, and I don't know
what
looks
good. Yeah, and
you're
supposed to match them to other shades in the same family. It gets all complicated.
I have no idea what I'm doing when I walk into that section of the store. I see, over the back fence, I see some men, the back fence of men. Hi, guys.
Hey.
Job, work like a devil for my pay, but the lucky old son has nothing to do but roll around heaven all day. Fuss with my woman, toil for my kids, sweat till I'm wrinkled and gray, while the lucky old son has nothing to do. Roll around heaven all day. But above you know I'm crying, tears all in my eyes. Send down that cloud with a silver lining, if you paradise. Show me a river, take me across.
The back fence of men with that lucky old son. Well, we've got a lot of nice sponsors, and here's another chance for us to talk about one of our great sponsors. Not joining us on the stage right now, it is Thomas M. Mannion, attorney at law. I gotta tell you a little story about Thomas M. Mannion, attorney at law. First of all, great attorney, right next door to the St. Main Theater. Handles all different kinds of law, criminal and family and estate planning and all that sort of jazz.
Great.
He also, above his law office, has some lodging available for folks that are visiting Lanesboro. It's called the Marquis Suites.
Yep.
Fabulous place. Great big full apartment kind of rentals. Really super cool. Sleep a lot of people. Dynamite guy. Now, I got to tell you a little bit of a story. We're in the 21st year of Over the Back Fence. And 21 years ago, We were looking for business owners that were that were nice enough were nice enough to roll with us on this crazy idea for a show like this.
Yes.
And Thomas M. Mannion did not hesitate. He signed up right away, way back when, before we even knew what we were, well, we still don't know what we're doing. Well, back then, he was willing to support us and has been a supporter of us all the way along the way. And you know from being in the arts that that's really important. When the business community will get behind you and help you out, it's really important.
Exactly.
And a great big thank you goes out to Thomas Mannion for helping us out all these years. And like I say, he's a really good attorney, great guy, and you can get all kinds of legal assistance from him. He's right here in Lanesboro. Just look him up. And a great big thank you goes out to Thomas M. Mannion, attorney at law. Look at what has happened when I was looking away. The Rhubarb Sisters are here. Thank you goes out to some of our sponsors, including Thomas M. Mannion, attorney at law, Great River Shakespeare Festival, Lanesboro BP and S&A Petroleum, Preston Foods, Visit Bluff Country Magazine, and the River Roots School, Skills School at Eagle Bluff. Hey, you know, there's an article I look forward to, a column I look forward to each and every week in a local newspaper, and that gentleman is joining us tonight. And there's a really super good guy that asked for an opportunity to introduce this man. And so please join me in welcoming Mr. Harvey Benson.
Okay, it's good to see so many friends out here this evening. And as Damon says, everybody should know Al Batt. He's in our county paper every week. And if you don't read it, you're missing something. I think Al Batt has three important sides. First of all is his humor. He has that kind humor that never hurts anybody, and that's a little bit rare today. Second part is knowledge. If you want to know anything about nature, and especially birds, certainly Al knows about it. He seems to be very connected to nature in a way that maybe most of us should be more connected with. And the third part, I would say, is wisdom. And that comes out at the end of the column. He's quoting wise people from today or yesterday, and it seems that if we'd follow that kind of advice, we'd be much better off. So I'm very happy to see my friend Al Batt here.
That was nice, wasn't it? Yeah. Didn't quite read it the way I wrote it, but still, it was still good. Hello, friends of Over the Back Fence. Boy, thank you all for being here. It's cool being in your company. This is a wonderful, wonderful group. Man, it's fun being. Can we call it a group?
Sure.
Yeah. It's a wonderful gathering of folks, so thank you for being here. I was going to wear something red, and I went to all my closets. All my blue jeans are blue, so I was really limited there. I want to tell two quick stories. I grew up on a farm, like I bet a lot of you did, lived in a big old farmhouse that had been added on and subtracted to and moved a little bit, so you had all these little nooks and crannies. The one thing that every room had in common were holes in the wall.
When the wind blew, it actually gained speed as it went through. Wind would blow and turn the water faucets on. That's how hard.
So it was so cold in the wintertime. It was just frigid in there because we'd have to scrape the windows to see outside. You'd have the hoarfrost on the inside. But it made up for it by being just unbearable in the summer. Oh, it was so hot. You know, being outside when it's hot and humid, that's okay because you can drink enough of Kool-Aid of various colors. That we didn't care what flavor Kool-Aid was as long as it was red. That's the only thing. We wanted red Kool-Aid and red Jell-O. That wasn't too much to ask for. And we could jump in the cow tank, jump in the Le Sueur River, but it was at night. It was so hot, stuffy, muggy. My mom said the weather is close, and I'd say it's all around us. It's everywhere. And I'd lie in bed, you're just spread eagle there, and then I'd pick up the pillow and go, trying to find a cool side of the pillow, because I can't sleep today without a cool side of the pillow. I gotta have a cool pillow. And I would lie there, and my mom, bless her heart, would come upstairs, and she'd have a dish towel that she'd run cold water through it, and she would hang it on the window with a screen on the outside, hoping a gentle breeze would come and cool me off in there. And then later, she'd come up with a dishpan filled with ice, and sit it on my bedside stand. And she'd bring up this fan. We had one fan in the house. It was a huge monstrosity, and it had a bad disposition, so they had to put it in a cage to keep it from going berserk. And she'd sit it down, and she'd turn it on and go, and as the ice melted, it would blow that cold air onto me on the bed, and it felt like air conditioning. I didn't know anybody who had air conditioning. The closest thing we had was Sibrod's Cardinal Grocery Store, downtown Heartland, population 315, four last names. And we'd go in there on a real hot day, and we'd go over to the frozen food section and spend hours deciding we really didn't need anything. But it was so nice and cool. So Mom would do that, and it was so good, but after about 10 minutes, all of a sudden, the fan would try to get out of its cage, and it would just, as soon as you're falling asleep, it'd go, whang, and then you'd wake up and say, what was that? And it's over there. And if it got even hotter, even stuffier, even muggier, my mother would come up and wet the sheets on my bed. Now, I was perfectly capable of doing that part all on my own, but that's the way moms are. I want to tell a story about I was working in the Rio Grande Valley of Texas, and I was at a place called Ansel Duas County Park, and it's down by Mission, Texas, and it's nestled right into the Rio Grande River there. And I was down there in this little park on a Sunday, and I'm looking at birds, got the binoculars, and I found a gray hawk, and I found a northern beardless tyrannulet, which is much smaller than its name. It's a tiny little bird with its gigantic name. And I found a greater peewee, and I was just looking at all these wonderful birds, and it was so cool seeing them all. And then I was down to one I wanted to see, a tropical parula. Or pargula, if you're on that side of the controversy. There's a big controversy about how do you say that. So I wanted to see that. So I got the binoculars. I'm looking up there. Beautiful Sunday day. People are cooking all over. There's smoke all around where people are just enjoying the day. Kids are playing. And I'm out there looking for this bird. And I'm looking up there. And all of a sudden I hear, "What are you looking at?" I said, "Well, I'm trying to find a bird. It's a tiny little bird, tropical parula or pargula, depends on." And he said, "You know, I think I'm getting the age where I should start looking at birds." I said, "Well, everybody should look at birds. In Minnesota, some of you may not know, if you are a grandparent, state law that you have to feed the birds. You can be taxed an extra amount if you don't do that." So I said, "Well, everybody should feed the birds." I said, "How old are you?" And he told me. He was my age. We're the same age. I said, "When's your birthday?" He said, "March 16th. I said, "No way, mine's March 16th. We both get out our wallets, take our driver's licenses out, which I don't recommend you do this to a stranger many states from home, but we exchanged and said, "By gosh, that's true." It turned out he was an hour older than I was. And he said, "This is too cool to believe. You're coming back with me over there. We got something to eat. You're going to meet my family." And I went willingly. I said, "Lead the way," because my three things of our happiness in life is never miss a chance to put your feet up, never walk past two bathroom doors, and always take advantage of anyone offering you free food. Those are the three things I live by. So I walked over, and we sat down by this little picnic table out there in this county park down there, and near Mission, Texas. He had his second wife, a little bit younger than he was, and he had an 11-year-old daughter who was kind of a tail-ender that surprised us all, but it's been the blessing of our lives. As soon as my wife got home from the hospital, we got separate beds, but still, it's a good marriage. So we're talking about all this. He's an electrician, and we're just having a great time talking about everything. And he gives me fried bread. Oh, that's good. Beef steak. And then he brought out this concoction. I don't know. It was like smoke coming off it. And I said, "What is that?" And he says, "Some habanero in there." Now, I grew up in a family where the hottest thing we ate was ketchup. Some of you know that, yeah. I'm not good with friendly fire. I don't want anything that's hot. To me, peppers come in three forms. There's too hot, even hotter, and call an ambulance. That's what. And it's just, he brings it out here, and he said, "This stuff is really good." And I said, "It's really hot, isn't it?" And you know, men, ladies, you know us, we lie about food. Now we say, "Oh, no, that's not hot. Oh, no. It's like ice cream, you know." And I said, "I think it's really hot." And he said, "You know what? It'll put hair on your chest." I said, "I have hair on my chest. If it put hair on my head, I'd be more likely to eat it. And if you have a shirt, if you own a shirt, you don't need hair on your chest." That's what I figured. And he said, "No, it's good stuff. You should try it." And I said, "I don't." So I looked over to his wife, because women tell the truth about food. And I said, "It's hot, isn't it?" She said, "Yes." And I made up the decision right then. I'm not eating that. Life's too short. I'm not eating that. And then I looked over at the 11-year-old daughter. She's looking at me, trying to measure a man here. Wondering if I'm going to man up or cowboy up and eat that. So I mounted up and said, "Here we go." My friend says, "You know, the cracker will dominate the flavor." I found that reassuring. I thought, how hot can it be if a cracker will overcome it? So I dug through and found the biggest cracker I could. And I took a spoonful, about a half, and then I looked up, and the 11-year-old's going. So I went back down, got a little bit more, put the cracker in my mouth, and threw it in there. I should have had a smaller spoon. I heard somebody yell, "Fire in the hole!" And then my car alarm went off. I don't know how to describe the... It was like it was a bowl of red-hot needles in my mouth. And then you were stepping on one of those Lego bricks with your bare foot in the middle of the night. It was that whole body pain from both ends. And I just... Oh, it was so bad. It was so bad. I learned that moment that I'd eaten a lifetime supply of that particular pepper. But I also learned that time heals all wounds. There are some days now where my digestive tract merely smolders. I was in Texas for quite a while. That pepper was too hot for me, but I saw green jays, I saw green kingfishers, I saw great kiskadees, I saw all these wonderful birds, and they were cool. Thank you all for being here. Good night. God bless.
Al Batt, ladies and gentlemen. He's for the birds. Unbelievable. I got to tell you, Al has written a book. It's called A Life Gone to the Birds. And Al will be out in the lobby with some copies of his book, signing them. Well, first you got to buy it. Then he'll sign it to you. I also noticed when I was out in the lobby earlier that the Footnotes have some of their merchandise out there, and they will be out there after the show as well. So please, if you'd like to take some of the footnotes home, or if you'd like to bring Al Batt home with his birds, and I can almost guarantee that there will be similar fun stories in that book as well. In fact, last time he was here, he didn't bring his books with him. And when I saw that he was here with the book tonight, I immediately purchased one for myself, and I think you would enjoy it as well.
Hey, well, Damon.
Yes, Dave.
Are you ready to play a little red hot music here for the
folks? I sure am. For those of you that are listening at home and not here at the St. Main Theater, the Rolling Stones have taken the stage.
I don't know if you folks realize, how many of you are from this area? And how many of you are from out of town? All right. I don't think you realize how famous this man Damon is. I have two examples.
Okay.
Be quiet. There's a parking ramp at Mayo Clinic named after him. Did you know that?
I did know that.
Wait a minute, I'm not done yet. The second thing
he's famous for. I was
going to
give you the story behind the parking ramp, but go ahead.
The second thing he's famous for, and you won't know this. Damon Prestaman is famous for being on the Target Field Jumbotron Disco Fan Cam in the ninth inning of the Twins versus Cubs game.
Yeah.
Yes. Disco Fan Cam.
So I was just dancing. I mean, it was about...
The camera found him.
The only reason Dave brings that up is because he's a Cub fan and the Cubs won that day.
And the next day.
It's kind of funny. I went 100 and some miles up to the Target Field to watch the Twins game, kind of get away from Lanesboro a little bit. And I knew that I was at a Cubs game and that Dave was a big Cubs fan, so I texted him. I said, "Hey, I'm at the game. You know, I'm at Target Field watching the Cubs and the Twins." And he goes, "Where are you sitting? I am too." Should we have some fun? Let's go! Thank you.
I wanna jump, but I'm afraid I'll fall. I wanna holler, but this joint's too small. Young man, rhythm's got a hold on me too. I got the rockin' pneumonia and the boogie woogie flu. I want some lovin', baby, and that ain't all. I wanna kiss her, but she's way too tall. Young man, rhythm's got a hold on me too. I got the rockin' pneumonia and the boogie woogie flu. Come on, Lee. Come on, Gary, let's go. I wanna squeeze it, but I'm way too low. I would be running, but my feet's too slow. Young man, rhythm's got a hold on me too. I got the rockin' pneumonia and the boogie woogie flu. Baby, baby, I'm a coming home. I know she's leaving, cause I'm taking too long. Young man, rhythm's got a hold on me too. I got the rockin' pneumonia and the boogie woogie flu. Let's go, Lee.
Proud of me. She's so proud of me because I sang and played at the same time.
And it totally rocked.
Oh, thank you.
And now the sing-along part of the show.
Ooh, yes.
Here's a song that many of you, by looking at the program, the words in the chorus are in the program, you'll probably say, oh, I don't know that song. Well, the Over the Back Fence gang didn't know it either, but then as it turned out, they did.
They realized that they knew it, yes.
So, You may have heard this before, so let's try it out. Ready? We're going to do a cappella the first time around, and then later on we're going to give you an opportunity to sing with us. Okay, ready? One, two, one. You can do this, can't you?
Come on now. Let's go. Let's make a little noise.
We're having a party. Dancer buddies swinging. Dancing to the music on the radio. So listen, Mr. DJ, keep those records playing, cause I'm having such a good time dancing with my baby. We're having a party. Everybody's swinging. Dancing to the music on the radio. So listen, Mr. DJ, keep those records playing, cause I'm having such a good time dancing with my baby. We're having a party. Dancing to the music played by a DJ on the radio. The beer is in the icebox. The popcorn's on the table. And I'm having such a good time dancing.
dancing with my baby. We're having a party. Everybody's swinging, dancing to the music on the radio. So listen, Mr. DJ, keep those records playing, 'cause I'm having such a good time dancing with my baby. Everybody's swinging. Oldie's doing the twist now. If you take requests now, I got a few for you. Don't forget the soul twist and the mashed potato, 'cause I'm having such a good time dancing with my baby. We're party. Everybody's swinging, dancing to the music on the radio. So listen, Mr. DJ, keep those records playing, 'cause I'm having such a good time dancing with my baby.
Your turn.
We're having a party.
Everybody.
Everybody's swinging, dancing to the music on the radio. So listen, Mr. DJ, keep those records playing, 'cause I'm having such a good time dancing with my baby.
Louder now.
We're having a party. Everybody's swinging, dancing to the music on the radio. So listen, Mr. DJ, keep those records playing, 'cause I'm having such a good time dancing with my baby. We're having a party. Everybody's swinging, dancing to the music on the radio. So listen, Mr. DJ, keep those records playing, 'cause I'm having such a good time dancing with my baby. We're having a party. Everybody's swinging, dancing to the music on the radio. So listen, Mr. DJ, keep those records playing, 'cause I'm having such a good time dancing with my baby.
Well, we'd like to say thank you to our pre-show musical guest, Miss Michelle Lynn. We'd also like to thank our special guests, including the Footnotes, the Rhubarb Sisters, and Al Bat. And, of course, a great big round of applause to our guest musical director, Ms. Rachel Starley. This is the Over the Back Fence Gang. I'm Damon Presterman. Thanks so much. We'll see you next month. Let's go.
We're having a party.
Mr. DJ, keep those records playing, 'cause I'm having such a good time dancing with my baby. 'Cause I'm having such a good time dancing with my baby.
Thanks, everybody. Good night.
Thanks again to all who make Over the Back Fence possible. The volunteer cast and crew, sponsors, KFIL 103.1 in Preston, Minnesota, and the Lanesboro Art Center. Over the Back Fence takes place the second Friday of every month, March through November, at the St. Main Theater in downtown Lanesboro. More information on Over the Back Fence can be found at overthebackfencelanesboro.blogspot.com and on Facebook. I'm Terry Tunsett, thanking you for listening to The Live Feed.
Thanks for listening to The Live Feed. The Live Feed is produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. For more information on tonight's show, visit us at kqal.org.